Good morning. For the note takers in the audience that like to write down verses, I'm going to be doing the entire 6th and 7th chapters of Judges. So to save yourselves some writing, that'll take care of that. All right, so starting in Judges 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains, in the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come up like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for the Lord to help. When the people of Israel cried out for the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." I'm going to stop there. What I want to point out in the first 12 verses is that the children of Israel at this time are a humble people. They are a people who know of their exodus from Egypt, from the stories that have been handed down to them. They are possibly resigned to thinking that this way of life of hiding in these caves and mountains is just the way that life is. I also want to note that in 12, the angel of the Lord says, "O mighty man of valor." This is a different kind of address than we've seen the angel of the Lord give other people. He's not addressing Gideon as a great man of faith, but a great man of valor. He says he is a good potential, a great potential, a person who needs to be reminded, guided, and prodded along the way. And I'd like to define valor and potential real quickly. Not that you don't know them, but just for the sake of doing so. Valor is great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle, and potential being latent, dormant, or untapped qualities or abilities that may be developed into future success or usefulness. All right, I'm going to continue on, verses 13 through 24. "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all of his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Did I not send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.' And he said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign, that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from me until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay until you return. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, the broth he put in a pot, and brought them out under the terebinth and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them. And he did so. The angel of the Lord reached out with the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, excuse me. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abizrites. I hope I'm saying that right. I don't really know. I'm not very good with Hebrew terms. I do find it interesting, though, that when these men are approached by the angel of the Lord, they often ask for these signs. I suppose, though, if I was in their shoes, if I was Gideon, beating grain in a wine press so as to not have it stolen, to hide, and someone comes up to me and says, O mighty man of valor, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hands of Midian, I'd probably try to pull the reins back on the conversation also. Things got pretty heavy pretty quick. Either way, the sign that was displayed is interesting in several ways. Firstly, he prepared a young goat. A female goat was offered to God by Abraham when he was told of his descendants and their captivity to Egypt, which by this time has already transpired. And goats were also offered alongside bulls and rams for sin offerings. Perhaps Gideon knew or wanted this assortment of goods that he was offering up to be burnt as this sign, or maybe that was just what he expected would happen with the God that he knew, because they were placed on a rock under a terebinth, which is a tree very common in Israel, a tree that has a spread as wide as it is tall, or sometimes even wider. The tree has many references in history of the Jews. David fought Goliath in the Valley of the Elah, or the Valley of the Terebinth. But what strikes me most about that verse and the fact that he chose, or at least indicated that he knew these things would be consumed, is verse 21. It says that the meat and unleavened cakes were consumed. They were consumed with a fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We see that stated in the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy and also in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. At any rate, what is shown to Gideon is the fact that without question, this is a messenger of the Lord. This is the Lord speaking to him. And he has found favor in the sight of the Lord, which is what he was asking for in verse 17. So now what? Gideon knows two things. A, he knows that he's being called on to act in the name or on behalf of God, and he knows that God is with him. Beginning in verse 25, we see exactly what it is that he's asked to do. So we're going to go there real quick. We're going to do 25 through 27. That night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old. Pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord of your God, the Lord your God, on top of the stronghold there, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Once again, we see that God is using the potential, converting the potential energy, if you will, of Gideon into action. I believe that it is at this point that he is not yet fully developed into that man of valor that we see later in him. He does these things as he's asked to do, but he does them under the cover of darkness because he's not a man of great faith at this point. He's afraid. He's afraid, even though he's been asked, he's been shown signs of God, of what his father and the people of the village could do to him. He's afraid of his consequences. He is to sacrifice his father's bull on the altar that he's to make there, to burn them with the wood of the Asherah next to the altar of Baal that he was to tear down. Asherah being another type of tree, but it's also the name of a supposed goddess of fertility. I don't know whether this was actually an idol to that goddess or whether it was just a tree. Most of what I've read indicates that it's simply a tree. Just wanted to bring up the fact that there's also a goddess of that name. And their idolatry had seemed to be pretty prevalent at this time. Regardless, he was to tear down the altar to Baal and convert it to a proper altar to the true God there, to send a message to those who would see it. Reading on 28 through 35, and I'm going quickly because I timed this out at home and I went over time. So I apologize if I'm leaving anybody behind. So starting in 28 through 35, when the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down. The second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And after they searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then he said, the men of town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. The Abiezrites were called out to follow him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. He sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet him. So once again, things are changing very quickly for Gideon. Overnight, he has taken the action necessary to instill faith in his father and others, at least away from Baal enough and into God enough for these people to gather up and follow Gideon. They're now gathering forces against an impending battle with Midianites, Amalekites, and the people of the east, who at the beginning of this chapter were said to be innumerable. The same people who had driven these people into caves, hiding, eating their crops, and who just a short time before Gideon himself hid to beat the grain off the wheat stalks for fear of having it taken from him. People now he is preparing to go to war with. A man of valor? You bet. A man of great faith? He's still a work in progress. Verses 36 through 40. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry all on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung out enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please, let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the ground, or please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew. So God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. He needs two more tests of God to believe that he's being called upon to do this. I find it hard not to find at least a little humor in this process, because he's had all these signs. He's already taken care of all these things. He's got all these people behind him. He's spoken to God, and yet he has not one, but two of virtually the same sign. And he's trying to work on that faith aspect of his life. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And anyone whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." But he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let the others go, every man to his home." So the people took provisions into their hands and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. All right, the Lord works in mysterious ways. We see that in an example here. I don't have or claim to have a reason for why God said, "Choose the men who lapped rather than the men who knelt down to drink," other than perhaps just the fact that they were fewer in number. I find it also a little interesting that says, God, speaking almost in a fatherly voice, says, "Those who I tell you will not go, will not go, and those who I tell you will go, will go." He's not even giving Gideon a chance to say, "Let me test you on this." He's saying, "This is how it is." And trying to keep Gideon humble and reminded of exactly what is going on here. Verses 9 through 11. That same night the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. God's already told him, "I've given it into your hand," but he gives him a caveat, because he's not yet that man of great faith. He says, "But if you're afraid, go down with your servant." So yeah, he's that man of valor that we've seen, but he's not quite there with his faith yet. So he goes down with his servant, and picking up in verse 12, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand is on the seashore in abundance." I'm going to go ahead and just read through the end of the chapter on this one. "When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade, and he said to him, 'Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered him, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian, all the camp." I can't help but wonder how that thought was placed in his head. Was that God speaking directly to Gideon through these men? How would these people know who the son of Joash is, or the fact that he's coming, and not be at least alerted to the fact that this plan was taking place? So I believe that this was something that God was using to speak directly to Gideon. Picking up in 15, "As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into their hands, and all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me will blow the trumpets on all side of the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp, beginning at the middle watch, when they had just set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew their trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shitta, toward Zerah, and the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith." Excuse those poor ability to enunciate. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them, as far as Beth Bara and also Jordan. So the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters as far as Beth Bara and also the Jordan. They captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan." Gideon, a man of valor, blessed by God, who had to be reminded and prodded all the way, is a great example to us of what God can do through us using the talents that we've given, and also implied not using the talents He didn't give us, whatever they may be. When your talents are developed, if you think about this battle plan, it's really not a good tactical setup. There's no real plan set in place. He gives people jars and torches and says, "All right, now, whenever we go down there, you do what I do." Nobody does that when you're planning to take a battle on your own. So he knew, and these people that were with him knew, that God would be with them and gave them enough faith to take care at least of that aspect. Let me find myself here. You don't have to prove yourself in battle. At the end of the day, what we need to keep in mind is what can we do for God, and what can God do through us? We are vessels formed for His glory and exaltation. Whether your portion is being a speaker for the Lord, or whether you're just a good example to others by your actions, both can be very effective tools for the Lord. I've said it many times, but maybe not in front of you standing here. The reason I speak is because I do not song lead. I speak not necessarily out of a love for speaking, but because my talent is better served here in my estimation, and I want to be an active member. I do not like song leading, so I try to stay away from it as far as I can. I know that there are plenty of Christians that can better spread the word through their actions or even their words than I, and there are very many Christians who can better spread the joy of the faith through song than I. I strive to be the whole package, but I fail. I'm here to offer that up freely so that hopefully I can be a small encouragement to you and understand that I haven't given up on my ability to make a transformation, but I hope that there is a Gideon in you in some way or another, that you understand that the talent that you have can be developed into something much greater, and that you don't have to be everything to everyone. As Paul said, you don't have to be a speaker, a song leader, and you know everything else, or teacher. I mean, there's so many people that take care of those other things. Let you do what you feel like you can do. So please have the courage to allow yourself to not be held back from the untapped talent that is within you. I ask you to come forward, as always, for the glory of the Father. Please take that first step in your transformation, or to reaffirm your resolve for the Lord. If you need refreshment, the Lord, is your God, is merciful and mighty. He's willing to forgive and embrace you, and so is this congregation. In brotherly love, I offer these things to you with the boldness and peace that only He can afford. If there's anything we can do, please let it be known as we lift our spirits in song.